Jesus declared, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's ironic that Jesus says these powerful words of promise from the cross as his earthly body begins to expire. He declares to one of his fellow crucified, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It is Christ the King Sunday, the final Sunday of our church year, and we have the juxtaposition of these two scripture readings that kind of capture the tension and maybe irony of this day. In Colossians, we have this image of the cosmic Christ, I'll say, the image of the invisible God through whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. All of the power, all of the might, all of the beauty of the creator of the world is captured in this human being, Jesus of Nazareth. And yet, the same Jesus, through whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell, hangs on a cross, mocked, derided, King of the Jews, they say, as an insult. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is called King of the Jews on the cross, and it's clear for those who were there that the fact that he is on the cross refutes any claim, at least in their mind, of Jesus being a king. What kind of king ends up on a cross? A fake one, they would say. Christ the King Sunday was officially declared a day of a festival day in the Catholic Church 100 years ago, 1925. Pope Pius XI declared it as a feast day. Later, it got moved to the last Sunday of the church calendar, but did so not in a vacuum. Pope Pius declared Christ the King Sunday as a way to make a theological statement due to the rising sentiment of secularization, that God was no longer relevant, and to two sort of polar opposite political and governing philosophies, fascism and communism, both which were about control and authoritarianism. And Christ the King Sunday says, no matter what your earthly leaders say, no matter what kind of claims they make, Jesus is the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Christ is the only and ultimate authority for all of life. Now, this didn't stop the rise of fascism and communism in the world. We know our history. But it was a way for the church to make a claim that stood in opposition, to say, no matter what any of these leaders say, Christ is the King. And we, as those, as part of the church, those seeking to follow Jesus, owe our ultimate authority to him. And so we look to Jesus to be our leader, to be our Lord, and we subject ourselves to the leadership, to the lordship of Jesus. This is a powerful claim. And then it's important for us to hold on to today, because there are many throughout history who have tried to claim for themselves this kind of ultimate authority. And in the history of the Bible, we see it all the time. Moses was given the law, delineating various ways that we ought to live together. And in the original structure, if there was a dispute among the people, there were judges. The judges were to arbitrate between people if there was ever a dispute about Moses' laws. But over time, the people of Israel started to look around at their fellow countries and say, everyone else has a king. Why can't we have a king? And God's answer was, well, I gave you the law. That should be enough. And I gave you judges to help who are filled with wisdom and concern for everyone, and let that be enough. You don't need a king to dictate right and wrong for you. But we as human beings, we kind of have an inclination toward wanting a king, wanting that one person who then gets glorified with kind of a divine status, which of course they don't deserve. We kind of have that desire for the simplicity of the black and the white. The might makes right kind of mentality is seeped into our human nature. And so the people of Israel begged God for a king. And in Deuteronomy 17, there are some provisions. It's almost like God said, well, you shouldn't really do that because a king can use their power to abuse it and to subjugate you in ways that are unjust, to not care for the people. But if you really want a king, one ruler to care for everyone or be in charge, then let's make sure that that king is faithful to God's word, is a person who pledges to make sure that justice is upheld, of strong moral character, we might say. And if you get that kind of king, then maybe it will be okay. But be careful, because if you get the wrong kind of king, it will go really poorly. Now, you can read the book of Judges and the book of Kings on your own time, but I'll just save you the time and give you a spoiler alert. It doesn't pretty much go well at all. There's an old adage that goes, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's wisdom in the teachings of Scripture and in just common sense view of history, that when a person or a movement claims for itself absolute power and says, no one can dispute our claims of authority and truth, you are in big trouble. Christ is king was a statement of protest against such kinds of claims for absolute power and absolute truth. Now, when we look at Jesus and we say, if Christ is king, what kind of king is he? And why was it so ironic for those who crucified Jesus, or at least those who were there and cheered it on, why was it so funny when they put King of the Jews next to the cross? Jesus had been healing people, performing miracles. They had the ancient prophets who said a Messiah will come and restore this is what everyone was waiting for, the reign of King David, the one actual king in Israel's history that wasn't awful was David. And he had his own issues. But the Messiah would come and restore the reign of King David, and they were waiting for it, and Jesus was showing all of the signs. Wow, he might be the one. And then he gets himself crucified, which seems to refute for at least most people, the Jewish people, but certainly the Romans were like, no God would ever allow himself to be crucified, to be put to death, to be humiliated physically, publicly. And so they put King of the Jews on the cross. But Jesus is the King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And in him, the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. So when we see Jesus on the cross, we see God most clearly. And make no mistake, Jesus had all the power of God on the cross. He could have brought himself down. Jesus, with all of God's power, could have set up an earthly kingdom that no one could even imagine. He could have amassed for himself incredible wealth. He could have lived a life of indulgent pleasure. What kind of king is Christ the King? One who gives his life away. With all of the power, with all of the glory and might of God, Jesus gives himself for us on the cross. This is why it's so important to say Christ is King. And any earthly king or any earthly power cannot be Christ. Think about this. If you gave any human being even an ounce of the power that Jesus had on the cross, they would use it for themselves. Especially without checks and balances, without accountability, any human being, because we're sinful, because we're awful, any one of us, if we were given power to be unchecked, would use it for ourselves over and over and over again. Which is why, as Christians, not only we claim that Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, but we should never expect any earthly power to be anything other than awful. I hate to say it. We cannot ever attribute any of Christ's attributes to our earthly leaders. We should expect them to be selfish. We should expect our leaders to be in it for themselves. And that's why we hold them accountable. That's why we vote. Because if someone is rotten, we vote them out. Or we put other things in place to hold people to account. But there are earthly leaders who will use, and it's so sinister and so heretical, and I just want you to look for it, who will use the language of faith to justify their desire for power. A thinly veiled facade of piety to cover their desire for wealth and power. Christ is King. And what kind of king is Christ? He lays his life down for the world. And not for people who deserve it. He lays his life down for a world filled with sin and brokenness and evil. Not because we deserve it, but because God's love is so powerful. God's love is for us and for the world. And when we proclaim Christ as King, we do so with a lot of humility, knowing that God's love is for us. God's grace is a gift to us. And when any earthly power tries to claim that they've got all the answers, that they have all the truth, we can just say Christ is King, and I'm going to follow him. to the place of vulnerability, to the place where the stranger, the orphan, and the widow are seen and cared for, to the place where all people are seen as God's people. There's not us and them, it's just God's people, fully loved. So may we, as God's people, proclaim that Christ is our King. May we proclaim that Christ is our Lord, and may we subject ourselves to Christ's teachings, rejecting all other claims for authority and allegiance, and following the one who gave everything for us and for the world. Amen.